Good morning. I trust everybody's in a good mood and excited to be here today. After all, we do have a privilege to worship God, and we have been woken up and allowed to see another day that we've never seen before, and for that, we should be thankful. As we get to the matter at hand today, I want you to know that this lesson was prepared in love. It's not designed to offend or make anyone upset, but it's just a matter that we have to talk about because the scripture deals with it. I want to thank our brother Antoine for reading Hebrews chapter 1 in its entirety. That kind of will serve as our introduction because I have a lot that I want to say, and to take the time to read all of that, I would not have to do that. I don't want to keep you here too long. The psalmist said, turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2 is where we're going to start. And the psalmist said in Psalms 116 in verse number 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" As we delve into this lesson this morning, not only do I want you to consider that question, I would also like for you to consider what Isaiah 1 and verse 18 says. The Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now, I want to challenge you as hearers. This is what I want you to do today. I want you to listen to the evidence. I want you to examine the evidence, and I want you to examine yourselves. I want you to listen to the evidence because Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Acts 17 and verse 11 tells us why we need to examine it. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Then I want you to examine yourself because we're commanded according to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now, I want this lesson to be powerful, and it will be powerful if I use the word of God. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and the discerner of the intents of the heart." That's Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Now, I want it to be plain, because the scripture says, Psalms 19 and verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Now, I hope that you have made it to Hebrews chapter 2 by now. We will look at verse number 1, 2, and 3, and that is where our lesson will come from this morning. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Now, as you look at the book of Hebrews, you have to realize the Hebrew writer sets the stage by letting us know that Christ is superior to the angels, the law, and the prophets. Christ is better. So it was written to some Jews who was on the verge of apostatizing, going back to Judaism and various things. So he illustrates real quick throughout this book that Christ is superior. And if you read the book of Hebrews, one word stands out in particular: better. If you understand the word better, we always like good, but we want better, and Christ is the best of the best, and we need to have that. Now, as we look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now, the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. For instance, parents will tell their children they need to give the more earnest heed to the things that they have heard when it comes to hygiene things like brushing your teeth, washing your face, putting on lotion, making sure you take a bath. Those are things that children should give the more earnest heed to. They might also tell them they need to give the earnest heed to eating their vegetables and eating all their food so they can grow properly, right? Now, those are some things. Now, wives might tell their husband they might need to give more earnest heed to making sure that the trash is taken out, that things are actually picked up and placed in a certain way. Husband might tell their wives, "We might want you to give the most earnest heed to paying attention to the bank account and paying attention to what we got going on. Let's save, let's spend more." Those are some things that you might have discussion about giving the more earnest heed to, just to give a glimpse. But the scripture tells us that we must give the more earnest heed, which means that these things are designed to help us to understand that we need to serve God. And if we're going to serve God, we have to give the more earnest heed. Now, verse 2 says, "For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward." Now, we have to realize that every transgression of disobedience receive a just reward, which means when you do things that are contrary to the laws of the land or even the contrary to the laws of your household, there's consequences. There are things that follow. Now, we have a lot of folks that like to do things and they'll make decisions and make choices, but they don't like to deal with the consequences. But the scripture is teaching here that there are consequences to your actions. So we have to understand that you must embrace those consequences just as well as you embrace taking the action and doing the things that you did. Now, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, it's interesting that we find the word neglect and so great salvation connected to each other. So what I'm going to do real quick is kind of highlight a few reasons why salvation is so great, but I really want to focus today on neglect. Neglect is one of the most dangerous things that can cause us to lose our soul, and many of us have things that we neglect in our life. Now, as I look within myself in my mirror, there's a lot of things that I neglect, that I do not spend as much time as I need to, and I need to make a better decision. So I have to give the more earnest heed, and as I look at God's word, it will remind me that there are certain things I should not neglect and cannot afford to neglect. Now, let's give you a few reasons why salvation is so great. Salvation is so great because of its availability. God's love for Christ, God's love and Christ's obedience makes it possible for all mankind to be saved. John 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the thing which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, that's a beautiful thing. Salvation not only is so great because of that, but you have a Savior that calls, and you also have a Savior that knocks. He calls in Matthew 11 and 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, we read in Hebrews chapter 2 that we ought to give the most earnest heed. And this is one of those things that we ought to give the most earnest heed to when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for your yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not only does he knock, but he calls, but he knocks. Revelation 3 and 20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Salvation is so great because of its accessibility. Anyone willing to heed to God's command can have the so great salvation. Jesus and God has made it possible that the unrighteous man could be viewed as righteous through Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Romans 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, for there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, this is a passage that kind of lets you know if you have sin in your life, but if you're willing to meet God on his terms and conditions, he can save you if you choose to accept his terms and his conditions. And we're going to see some folks that were evildoers that did some particular thing, but they were willing to accept God's terms and conditions, and they were able to receive salvation. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So the scripture is very plain saying that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, salvation. Tell us, don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look, what you need to find comfort is this. You know, we got people in the world that's doing those things, but this is comfort that you can find in scriptures. And such were some of you, past tense. Some of you were that way. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You have obeyed the gospel. That's why you've been washed, justified, and sanctified. Now, salvation is so great because of its reliability. The God we serve and the Christ we serve, they cannot lie, they cannot fail, and they will not save you without obedience. In Hebrews 6, verse 18, the Bible says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that veil. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible tells us, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, we see that salvation is so great because it's a reliability. We see that the God we serve and the Christ we serve cannot fail. We've already seen that he cannot lie and he will not save you without obedience. That's why we must give the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Many believe that they can be saved on their own merit, but the scripture has concluded that we must do it God's way, and failure to do that will leave us outside looking in. We'll be knocking, trying to enter in, but cannot. Because we have not done what God would have us to do. But salvation is so great because of its durability. We must be durable as Christians. Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you want a crown of life, you're going to give the earnest heed to the things that you have heard, and you're going to fight the good fight and travel doing things the way God will have you to do it. Now, salvation is so great because of its desirability. Revelation 14 and verse 13 tells us that blessed are those who die in the Lord, and their works are going to follow them. That's the desire. Now, I gave you those points just to give you some things to think about, why, a few reasons why salvation is so great. So now, to the matter at hand, our subject is going to be, this morning, neglect is an express pass to hell. Neglect is an express pass to hell. Many today understand if you go to theme parks, you get an express pass and you can skip the line and you can go here and go there. But we have to understand that neglect is an express pass to hell. It'll cause you to go there real fast. Many today have chosen and neglected not to come to the assembly. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 tell us that we're not to forsake the assembly, but some will neglect coming to the assembly because they don't see the value, they don't see the need, they don't see the importance, or maybe they have started to drift. Because they haven't been given the more earnest heed to the things that they have heard. Now, there's no escape if we neglect the so great salvation. Because Romans 1 and verse 18, meet me in Romans 1 and verse 18. Romans 1 and verse 18, I know we've covered a lot of scripture already. Romans 1 and verse 18. This is one of the reasons why we cannot escape the so great salvation, is when you read what the scripture says, it will conclude that we can't escape. Starting in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We are without excuse. We might look for excuses, but the scripture has said we are without excuse because we have the written word. And according to 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. In other words, he's given us the recipe for success. We must understand the recipe and follow the direction. Now, for instance, if you were to bake a cake, you might have all the ingredients. You might go to Walmart or whatever store you go to, buy the ingredients. But when you make this cake, you must follow the instructions. You must do it a specific way. Failure to include one ingredient can cause that masterpiece of a cake that you were planning to make, maybe a red velvet cake, it could be a true disaster because maybe you fail to put eggs or salt or whatever it is. So we have to understand that we have to follow things the way we need to. Now, neglect is dangerous. It's detrimental and it's destructive. Consider all the people who did not listen to Noah in his day. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Noah had been sharing a message that it's going to rain for a long period of time. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. But the end result, the scripture has let us know only 8 people went into that ark with Noah. But the question is, all those folks that neglected to hear his message, look at the end result. In Matthew 24, starting in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. So, when Jesus teaches here, if you understand the story of Noah, Jesus is connecting his return to just similar, making the parallel to how Noah was. The people are going to be doing everything that they want to do, but they will not understand until it's too late. That's a prime example of neglect. They neglected to hear the truth of God when Noah was telling them what they needed to do. Hence, they did not enter in. And as a result, they were shut out. And many today will be shut out because they will not do exactly what they need to do. Another Old Testament example. Y'all remember Lot's wife? God told him in Genesis chapter 19 to leave and to not look back. And she decided to look back and she became a pillar of salt. One thing we have to understand, when we decide to leave sin and those things that are going on, God not only expects us to leave, but he also expects us to take our heart. When you leave sin, bring your heart with you. Don't leave your heart back in places that will not help you end up being in the right way. What about Nadab and Abihu? Y'all remember them in Leviticus chapter 10? They neglected the commandments of the Lord and they offered strange fire, and as a result, they had to face that just recompense. Consider Moses. Moses was the meekest on the earth. You remember when God said, speak to the rock, and Noah, you know, he gathered the people. Moses actually started off pretty good. He gathered the people like God said. He got them there, and then he took a little sidebar. And he said, he called them, ye rebels, and he said, must we fast? And he took the focus off God and put it on him, and he had an issue. He neglected to follow God's commandments to the letter, and as a result, God allowed him to see the promised land, but he could not enter in. That was the just recompense that he had to resolve. Consider the prophet who was destroyed by a lion for neglecting the commandments of the Lord. Y'all remember that in the Old Testament? They told him to not to go back that way, and he listened. He heard a lie, believed a lie, and as a result, he got utterly destroyed. Consider Achan, who took up the accursed thing in Joshua chapter 7. See, when you think about Joshua chapter 7, if you read that entire chapter, you'll say to yourself, that's a really sad story, because as a result of his action, both he and his entire family was stoned. Now, when I think about that, I often ask myself this question, and I'll be transparent with you. I've had a situation to where I was rushing trying to get the church real fast, and we were running late. My baby girl might have been maybe one and a half. And my assignment was to make sure she was buckled in the car seat. I didn't buckle in the car seat. I'm driving down the road flying, trying to get here. Now, the reality of the situation, because of my neglect, if something would have happened, I would have had to deal with that because I did not make the provision. I did not prepare in advance to make sure things need to be done. As a result, something could have happened to her, something could have happened to my wife, and I would have had to deal with that if I would have survived and something would have happened to her. But we can neglect things, and we have to make sure that we put ourselves in positions to where we can win. Amen. Is there spiritual neglect in your life? How can you identify if neglect is in your life? Is there some signs that you should look for? A few indicators that neglect, a Christian has neglect in their life. You know, sometimes when you turn your car on, you get the check engine or the indicator comes on that you need some gas. Let's say that light comes on and you need that gas. It's interesting. I'll share another personal example. Like, I push it when that gas light come on if I got somewhere to go, right? But if that light is on and my wife's in that car, she's looking at me and just waiting. You just passed the gas station. You just waiting. I'm looking at the car. I say, I got 30 miles. You know, I know my distance of travel is 30 miles. I could actually make it there and I could stop and get gas later. But I've learned to just go and pull over because it'll bother her if I keep going. Now, some of y'all would do just like me and ride it on now. You know, sometimes my cousin used to say, look, I just drive on the prayer. I'm driving on the prayer sometime when it's on E and you don't want to stop, you don't want to get it, or it's cold. But if you neglect it too long, what if there's a detour? And then
those 30 miles you have end up becoming 31 and your car runs out of gas. And if you have your wife and your daughter, that's not going to be a good situation, because you're going to hear about it. I told you to go get that gas, and you passed these opportunities. That's just like when Noah was preaching and teaching. Guess what? People just, they didn't listen to what he had to say. They rejected it. And as a result, what happened is they got what was coming to them, because a Christian can know that they have some neglect in their life when lack of a Bible study and daily Bible reading. When you fail to meet with the saints daily, or when you start to lose your zeal and your compassion for serving God, that is a form of neglect. Sometimes you neglect when you fellowship the world. That is a sign of neglect. That is a sign of drifting, because you understand the dangers, but you're still going into it. Neglect is an express path to hell. Now, turn over to James chapter 1. Let's make this a practical lesson for us, okay? Let's go to the book of James, and we're going to spend most of the time, remaining time in James. Neglect is an express path to hell. Let's consider this. Neglect becomes an express path to hell when one is a faithful hearer of the word but not a doer of the word. That's how neglect becomes an express path to hell. In James chapter 1 and verse 21. Well, let's start in verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, if we give the more earnest heed to the word of God, according to Scripture, it is able to save our souls. After all, the end result is we want to end up in heaven. Don't matter how we get there, we want to end up in heaven. We don't want to go to that other place. But look what the Scripture said, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, we can be a hearer of the word, come here, show up, get the message, be in the right place, but leave out of here and not be a doer, and we are deceiving ourselves according to Scriptures. Anybody ever done that? I can raise both my hands. I've done that. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, a lot of us men might look at ourselves in the mirror, but our spouses look in the mirror a whole lot more, okay? Even sometimes when I leave out the mirror, my wife's like, did you not see that? You had something on your shirt? No, I really wasn't even looking that hard. But sometimes I have to change because they got a spot or something on it. Look at verse 24. For behold, he himself goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So if you want to be blessed in your deed, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Failure to be a doer is neglect, and that is an express pass to hell. Now, the second point I want us to make is turn over to chapter 2. Neglect is an express pass to hell when we profess to have faith but have no works to accompany our faith. Let's start in James chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 14. So I actually love the book of James. The book of James is a very practical book that anyone can understand the principles that's written here. It's very plain. You can, you know, it's hard for a person to take this out of context. James is written it's written so clean. So if you had Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder sitting next to each other, the writer James, Ray could tap Stephen and say, Stevie, I see it, because it's so plain, it's so clear on how God has made it. You can't miss it. You need somebody to help you misunderstand what James is teaching. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm in the field, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now, he's making it very plain. You can't see these things and not do something. Look what he said, verse 17. Even so, if it have not works, it's dead being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, when he said, I will show you my faith by my works, I think it's about Christ. When you think about Christ, Christ demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He still went to that cross. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, I mean, when he was in the garden being betrayed, and he still went on. He was demonstrating his love for us, and he showed his faith. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That's interesting. The devils also believe that there is a God, and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's just like you telling your child, I love you, I'm going to take you to the park, and you don't do it. They will call you out on that in the New York Minute, saying, well, Daddy, you said you were going to take me to the park today. It's not raining. Why am I not at the park? We must be people that follow through on what we do. God is not interested in lip action, and we even see things in the scriptures that it's dead, it's useless, it's pointless. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham, my father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with this works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. He was called a friend of God because he was willing to kill his child. God gave him a son, and he was willing to do exactly what he was commanded to do. Verse 24 says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So let us be people of faith with works, not faith but no works. Turn over to James chapter 4. Neglect is an express path to hell. It's when becomes a neglect becomes an express path to hell when you know to do good and you don't do it. Look what the scriptures say. James 4 verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's get practical. Let's say you go to Walgreens. You buy something in Walgreens and you ask for cash back. Maybe you ask for $10 cash back. And the cashier gives you $100 bills. Now, you have a choice. You can say, I made a $90 profit. Or you can give that money back and tell them to give you $10. You have to make a choice. Now, see, I'm saying that because I've had something like that happen to me. And I said, ma'am, you gave me too much money. She said, I'm so glad that you're being honest. I'm like, What would you expect me to do? You said most people, I believe, would have taken that money and not give it back. See, me, I would look at it this way. Even if I would have kept that money, I believe I would have lost a whole lot more. It's not worth it in the end. But to know to do good and not do it is to know that you must be about your father's business, but you are willing to say, you know what, let me turn my back so I can make this situation work. Amen. See, we got to be honest with ourselves. The scripture said, to him that knoweth to do good and not do it, to him it is sin. Let's say someone understands they need to hear God's word. They believe his word. They need to repent. They need to confess. But they choose not to be baptized. They know what they need to do in order to be saved, and they are not doing it. To them, it is sin. Now, we have to understand that's just a fact of life, and we have to hold on to that. Now, neglect is an express path to hell. When we forget the tragedy of forgetting promises, when the tragedy of forgetting God's promises, to focus on the circumstances of life. Many today forget the promises of God and they focus on the circumstance of life. The scriptures have said that he will provide all of our daily needs, food and clothing. Now, the problem is some of us get uncomfortable when it's not given to us in a way that we would like for it to be. Maybe you don't have your own apartment, but you have a brother or sister in Christ that say you can stay here, you can do this, you can have food. So we start to worry when we should actually trust in God's promise. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, this is a promise that we have, Jesus speaking here. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, for what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Have you ever seen the fowls of the air in your neighborhood? I got a lot of them in my neighborhood. They just be going around, and you see them always eating. And it always makes me think about Matthew chapter 6. God is providing for them. So I know if he provides for them, he'll take care of me. Sometimes I just got to trust him more, even when I can't see it. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, even all this glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, this is a matter of trust. If he know you got need of all these things, look what the scriptures say. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when I think about that widow and her two mites, she seek God first. She gave everything she have, not even worried about tomorrow. And many of us, if we learn to embrace that concept, we're not promised tomorrow. We need to embrace doing what we can right now, because tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is a fallacy that we hope for. It's not something that we're guaranteed. And if we lived our life in that way, that will help us to really seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because we know God knows what we need before we ask, and he always provides it. In my life, I've had some situations that have not always been pretty, but I can tell you, I never went without eating. I remember one time I was so hungry, I ain't have my wallet, and I was stuck in the mall. But guess what? They got a food court in the mall, right? I was hungry. I was young, I was hungry. And I just walked around, and you know, they got the samples, right? They got the samples. I go to this one place, get a sample. Well, you know what? I went to about 10 people and got a sample. So that hunger that I had was kind of to calm down a little bit, and I was feeling a little bit better. And then I ran into somebody that I knew, and I was able to make a phone call, and eventually I was able to get home, and that hunger that I had was taken care of. God provides for us. It's not always in the way that we want to do, but he does provide, and I never went hungry. And I know now, even if I ever got hungry, look, I got all these folks in here that's Christian. I can go to somebody's house and get something to eat. And I'm the type of person, I ain't picking. You got some bread and some peanut butter and the jelly, I'm good to go. Some of y'all might say you got to have certain things, you know. I'll eat what I'm given. Neglect is an express pass to hell. When you have talent, but you don't use it, and you bury it. We're all familiar with that story in Matthew chapter 25. When the three servants, 5, 2, and 1. You have the one that buried his talent. And the only reason he buried his talent, the scriptures say he was afraid. Many of us today as Christians are that one talented person because we live our lives afraid. We are afraid to pursue and do anything because, you know what, if it doesn't make sense in our mind, we say we can't try it. But if you're like the 5 and the 2 talented person, they were willing to invest, to go out and try to do something with the belief that God will bless them. And guess what? God blessed them, and they doubled the things that he gave them. And notice that God always gives us things according to our ability. So we might get a small little bone, and God is giving that to us to see what we're going to do with that small little bone, to see if he's going to give us the next little bone that we want. Now, if we don't make good with the little bone that he gave us, guess what? He's not going to give us more because we won't use what we have. But if we use what we have and we're shrewd and we're wise as serpent and harmless dove, guess what happens? He can bless you with more because you've proven that you would use it to honor him and to help others. So we have to understand that neglect is an express pass to hell when we choose not to do what God will have us to do. See, as we think about neglect, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Maybe some of y'all know this verse. I want to start in verse 4. See, we're living in a world where this world likes to, the flesh is glorified, it's magnified in on TV and television and all different aspects of life, even the music. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Let's focus on that. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. That's ordained by God. But it's ordained in the context of marriage. If you're not in the context of marriage, it's not right. Scripture says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a beautiful thing to know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Man might leave you and forsake you, but God will never leave you or forsake you. See, a major indicator of neglect is when one is led by flesh in lieu of being led by the Spirit. In the 1970s, there was a song, Me and Mrs. Jones. Scripture says, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30, and no one knows. She'll be there, holding hands, making all kinds of plans while the jukebox plays our favorite songs. Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We got to be extra careful that we do not build our hopes up too high, because she's got her own obligations, and so do I. Now, that was in 1972. That was 9 years before I was born. You know, that was going on then. And maybe some people are a little bit older than me. I can go on back to Ray Charles. He had a song called Do the Mess Around. You know, I used to listen to old music with my grandfather and stuff like that. So I know a lot of these songs. 1985, I was 4 years old. It was a song that came out, and I used to hear a lot of my family members singing this song. It didn't make no sense to me. It's called Secret Lovers. Here we are, the two of us together, taking this crazy chance to be all alone. We both know that we should not be together, because if they found out, it could mess up both our happy homes. That sounds crazy already. I hate to think about us all meeting up together, because as soon as I look at you, it will show on your face. Yeah, then they'll know that we've been loving each other. We can never, we can't leave a trace. Sitting at home, I do nothing all day but think about you and hope that you're okay, hoping that you'll call before anyone gets home. I'll wait anxiously by the phone. How could something so wrong be right? When you think about that, that's, and I go this way because I know sometimes the young people that I teach, they tell me the older preachers don't talk about stuff that used to go on in their day, and I know it's bad stuff that's going on. So I'm just, you know, I paint the picture and I pull this stuff up and share it with them. But when I was growing up in high school, there was a song, 1994. I bet some of y'all know it. It went like this. My mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. Baby, I don't want to hurt, but there's something I must confess to you. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. See, I know just what you want, and I know just what you need, girl. So, baby, bring your body to me. Bring your body here. I'm not fooling around with you. Baby, my love is true. With you is where I want to be. Girl, you need someone like me, yeah, to satisfy your need. Now, all this is talking about things taking place not in the confines of marriage. Now, I ask myself this question. How is it that this song was played on the radio in 1994? I was 13 years old, and when I was in middle school, most of my peers knew that song. Talking about things like that, I could go on and talk about songs of today, but the message is clear. When you neglect to live and do what God would have you to do, it is an express pass to hell. God will not tell us well done if we don't do it his way. I want to end with going back to Hebrews chapter 2 and let us just consider, be reminded of what the scripture says. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression of disobedience received just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? The scripture is plain. We will get what we earn. We will get what we have earned according to God's will with God's grace. If we live a life where we deserve mercy, we obey it, and we're faithful, God, through Christ, will allow for us to hear well done. But if we live our life where we just go out and do as we please and we neglect the commandments and the promises of God, we place and put ourselves in a position where he cannot tell us, well done, our good and faithful servant. We're living in a world where mankind think that it's okay to shack up. They believe that they can actually shack up and live and please God. That's false. It's not marriage. It's not honorable in the eyes of God. And we got to be honest enough to let people know that you got to stop it. You can't expect to live a wrong life in here and get a righteous reward. It's just not going to happen. So what I would like for you to do is just consider, is there any neglect in your life? Is there room for improvement? Like, I preach this lesson to myself over and over because I know this area that I have to improve on. Because if I don't improve, I'll be standing outside. I won't hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," if I don't tighten up on some of the things I have to do. So I've had to repent and I've had to confess about a lot of those things. Ask God to help me to do better. Neglect is real. But when you think about neglect, neglect is an express pass to hell. You don't want that pass. You don't want it. But you'll face it if you have the mindset of some of these songs that I've read to you at the end. There's some crazy things going on out there. But God wants you to understand and know, if you hear his word, if you believe it, you repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you remain faithful unto death, he's promised that he will give you a crown of life. Now, if you've done that in the past, if you went back to the world, if you strayed away, God requires that you understand when you have sin in your life, that you repent. Don't wait. Don't tarry. Repent is one of those things. That's a now or never type thing. Because you don't have later. You need to repent, make it right. And if you repent and make things right, God has promised that he'll put you back on the highway of holiness. Some of us are here today. Maybe we haven't been faithful to God. We come as we please. We're a Christian. But maybe we're a Christian in disguise. People will come and see you and say, "You a Christian?" You don't talk about it, but don't neglect the word of God and the commandments of God. Because everything from Genesis to Revelation, God will hold us accountable for. And it's important for us to understand, failure to study the word of God is neglecting your soul salvation. Because it's a dangerous thing to be judged by something that you're not familiar with. So take the time to study it. Take the time to invest in your salvation and trying to be what God would have you to be. If you're here today, you need a prayer, know somebody else, please come while together we stand and sing the invitational song.